before I say any more, I want I need three people to give me a hand. Who would we like to have? Can we have you then? That's one. If you come and stand here. And see what we have. You just stand there. That's great. And have you? What else have we got here then? And a few then. Right, now what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you these. They're sort of pipe cleanery things. Okay. Now what I want you to do is I want you to make out of them. I might have to just divide them up a bit more. However you can, twist them together, join them together and so on, and make a sword or a gun. Can you do that? So quite a big one. Well, as we gather together today, of course, we're marking Remembrance Sunday, and it is very important to think about those who have given themselves to serve their country in wartime, especially to remember those who gave themselves even to the point of death. Now, sometimes in a broken world like ours, war simply cannot be avoided. And such, of course, was the case in the Second World War in particular, when an evil regime and the Nazis were threatening to spread their damaging and dangerous ideas to the rest of Europe and beyond. In the end, defending freedom by a war seemed to be the only option. But of course, no one in their right minds wants war or thinks that war is anything but a sometimes necessary evil. Instead, we long for peace. Now, as we look back on the last century, we can be thankful to God that peace actually came in 1918 and then in 1945. And we can be grateful that different conflicts and wars have come to an end since, and there has been a measure of peace. We can appreciate, too, that countries that once were our enemies are now our friends, and we are at peace, even if there are still those who are effectively enemies, as they use terrorism to oppose us, and they still have to be fought against. Well, the Bible reading that John read for us from the Old Testament prophet Micah contains some rather poetic words that are often used in remembrance services. They're words that have become symbolic of the human longing for peace, the hope for peace, when there is still so much conflict in our broken world. Micah chapter 4 verse 3, "And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." Now then, how are we getting on here? Has anybody made a sword yet? Well, you're making very little ones, aren't you? Is that sort of like a sword? Yeah, okay. Anybody made a gun or anything like that? Well, I want you to undo all your work now. And what I want you to do is instead, I want you to turn these things, the swords and things, into something that's useful or something that's beautiful. Something that's useful and good or something that's beautiful. Can you do that? Well, you know those famous words, it's important to get our heads around them in some way. We read, "And they shall beat their swords, which are weapons for war, into ploughs," into ploughshares. In other words, farming kit. "And their spears, instruments of death, into pruning hooks," gardening equipment to help things to grow. So the idea is that which once was used for war is changed into something that is useful for a good and peaceful purpose. A sword or a spear is now used to help produce food on the farm or in the garden. I'm not giving you very much time to do this, but anybody made anything good or beautiful or useful? What's it going to be anyway? What was your plan? You can tell me.
This is kind of spade, but it kind of looks more like a
spade, right? Okay, that's good. Yeah, it's not the easiest of materials to work with. Yeah, what was yours going to be?
Stickman.
A stickman, so a piece of art or something like that. What about yours? What were you going to make?
A flower.
Excellent. Good. Okay. Well, thank you very much for your help. Shall we give them a round of applause? You can take them with you if you like. Now, the book of Micah, where those words originally come from, is a message from God to his wayward people almost 3,000 years ago. The people, you see, were forgetting God, and that affected the way that they lived. There was a lack of justice and fairness amongst the people. There was bad leadership, and the well-off were abusing the poor. And so God, through his messenger, says to them that he has an important warning for them. He tells them that actually, if they continue to forget about him, then they will face serious consequences. In the end, an enemy country, Assyria, would come and take over their land. Now, the ancient people of Jerusalem also point to us. Because when we're honest, we know, all of us, that we are naturally those who forget God and we turn away from him. And that leads to all sorts of bad things in society, in the wider world, and in our relationships. Well, all those years ago, the people were invaded and their country was taken over by an enemy. But God promises them that that will not be the end of the story. God had a message to the nation which was about what one day will happen. Now, he was very, very generous to them. They didn't deserve it. In fact, they deserved only more bad treatment. But God gave them hope. God is going to bring about a reversal of fortunes. And that's where he makes the promise that swords will be turned into plows and spears into pruning hooks. So this is a vision of the future, a vision of peace for the future. It was future for the people who heard it almost 3,000 years ago, and it's future for us, as we'll see in a moment. But we do, from time to time, see something of that future breaking out in the present when we see peace instead of war. Just this last week, I heard about an African country which had had a terrible time of war. And yet, following leadership from Christians in that country, people had been encouraged to bring in their weapons and have them melted down and turned into useful farming equipment. Some of these weapons had also been turned into pieces of art, a bit like we saw a moment ago. And then they'd been taken to different parts of the world and displayed in exhibitions. But all wars being turned to peace is not an easy thing at all. Indeed, it's something that will only happen fully in the future, according to the promise of God that we've read together this morning. Now, I need five more people to come and give me a hand at this point, and we need to stand up in a line here so everybody can see. So, is anybody around the corner there who can't really kind of quite see what's going on? Yes. Loads of people. Right, okay. How do we choose? One of your leaders, choose two of you to come out then. That's two. Put the onus on them. And have you three? And who's not had a go yet? Is anybody hiding away here who wants a go? No? Oh, yeah, there's one there. That's four. And who have we got? One, two, three. We've only got three so far. I thought we got more than that anyway. Three. Okay. Was there somebody at the back who's coming down? Yeah. You going to come and join us? That's four. One, two, three. Four's coming. Oh, you're coming down. Right. Come and stand here. Right. Now then, I say it's a very difficult thing to move from war to peace. We can talk about it and it can sound easy, but of course anybody knows that it's not an easy thing at all. So what I'm going to try and do here is we're going to see if we can move from war to peace. Now, if you think of those spears that we had earlier, do you remember people making swords and things? What do you do with a spear? What do you do with a spear? Throw it. Yeah, can you think of another word for throw? Particularly if you've sort of like got a stone in something and you go like this and whack it. What do you call that?
Catapult,
yeah. Anybody else got an idea? Yeah? Lob it. Yeah, that's a good Anglo-Saxon word, isn't it, that? Yeah, good one. Anything else? Yeah. Chuck, that's another good one. Yeah?
Launch it.
You know those things that, you know...
Sling,
that's it, good. Okay, well, so we're going to start with the word sling, okay? So there's the sort of thing that you might do with a spear. Can you hold those up so everybody can see them? But what we want to do is we want to move from a sling, something that might be used as a weapon against people in war, and change it into peace. But somehow We're going to do this by just changing one letter at a time, and each time we're going to still have a word. It's quite a difficult thing to do. So we start off with sling then. Okay, and what are we going to get to then? We need to start with... we need to change the I into an A. What we got now then? Slang. We've had a few slang words already, haven't we? Good, okay. And then we're going to change the G to a T. What we're going to get then? Slant. So we're still doing it one letter each time, but just still ending up with a word each time. Okay, we've got slant. Now we're going to change it from slant to plant. And then we're going to change it from plant to hold it up, plane. And then we're going to change it from plane to place. And then we're going to change it from place to something else. What? How can we make it peace? And we've done it. There we are. We've got from slinging a spear in war, we've got to peace, haven't we? We've got to peace. And that's a reminder of that promise that God gives, that one day swords will be changed into ploughs and spears will be changed into garden equipment. There will be peace. But that's a future hope. It's not here yet. It's something we hope for in the future. Good. Thank you very much. Would you like to go and sit down then? Give them a round of applause. The question is, though, of course, how will ultimate peace come about? Well, in the next chapter of that book of the prophet Micah, we hear about a leader who is going to come. It goes like this, chapter 5, verse 2. But you, O Bethlehem, and there's a clue, you who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be a ruler, whose coming is from ancient times. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord. His greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be our peace. Now those words are picked up directly hundreds of years later in that second reading we had from the New Testament, which went like this. But now in Jesus Christ, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace. So the one who can bring peace is Jesus Christ. Micah tells us he will be our peace. And then in the New Testament we read, he himself is our peace. Now I need a final set of volunteers to help us at this point. And ideally I could do with groups of three in different parts of the building. So again, if you could pick three out from there, please, the leaders there. And I need three from here. You at the back, you at the front, and you there. Right, we'll have you as well. So if you've got, just stay where you are though. I want you to stand together in threes. I must have threes. So just stay where you are. Yeah, okay. Is it Georgia, is it? You're going to come and stand here then. Anybody else like to come and work here? Come on, I need two more. Yeah, one. Go on then. Jonathan James. And then who have we got here? One, two, three then. You come and stand here. One, two, three. You come and stand here. Have we got any further back? Have we got any over there? Want to be a three? Any further back here want to be a three? Okay, one, two, three. Sorry, I can't. You stay here, right? So all, I want you all to stand where you are. And I want you to decide that one of you is going to be number one, okay? One of you is going to be number two, and one of you is going to be number three. So don't muddle yourselves up. Make sure that one of you in each three is number one, another one's number two, and another one's number three. Okay, so who's number one? Hands up. Who's number one? Who's number two? So each group's got one hand up, I hope. Yeah, and who's going to be number three in each group? Good. Okay. Right, now listen to the instructions. Now what I want is I want number one and number three in each group, okay, to pretend, and I mean this, pretend, okay? You need to pretend that you're very angry with each other. In fact, you need to pretend that you're almost kind of coming to blows, right, okay? So you're not at all happy with one another. Okay, so come on, get into this. Who's number one and number three? Right, okay. Pretending, though, I said, remember? Okay, come on then, get into it then. Right, one, two, three, stop. And I want you to hold that pose. Right, okay, so you're right, okay. Now, sadly, that's sometimes what life is like, isn't it? People at each other, people even fighting each other. Now, who's the number three? What I want the number three to do is I want you to come between the two that are fighting, okay? No, it's number two, thank you. Let's get whoever's left. We've got number one and three are fighting. Number two is going to come between the two that are fighting and hold them apart. Can you do that, everybody? You're only miming, remember? So hold them apart. Hold them apart. So get who's fighting? Oh, that's right. You're holding them apart. That's good. You're holding them apart. That's good. Right. One, two, three. Stop. Freeze. And now I want number one and number three to sit down. But number two to stay where you are, doing exactly what you were doing. Okay? Can you see? The ones left standing are sort of stood a bit like this, aren't they? Keeping the two people apart, but also in another sense, joining them together. Well, you know, it was when Jesus came into this world and he died on a cross that he joined people together who might otherwise have been fighting, linked people together who had fallen out with one another. What he did was, you see, he made it possible for us human beings who've fallen out with God to be made friends again with God because he died on the cross. And then those people who've been made friends with God can be made friends with one another. So Jesus is like a peacemaker, bringing people together who otherwise would have nothing to do with each other or even be each other's enemies. We read, but now in Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Jesus, his death. For he himself is our peace. He has made us both one and has broken down in his body the dividing wall of hostility, that he might make in himself one new person in place of the two, so making peace. Thank you. The volunteers would sit down. Thank you very much for your help. So you see, as we read in that reading, Jesus has come and preached peace to those who were far away and peace to those who were near. But it's not a cheap peace. It's not that God just says, oh, look, it doesn't matter, everything's okay, when it's not. No, Jesus has made peace in a way that takes seriously the fact that we have wronged others and wronged God and justly pays the price for it. Jesus has broken down in his body the dividing wall of hostility between us and God and between us and others. Amazingly, as God himself became human, Jesus, when he died, took the rap that others deserved so that God can be very generous, giving peace, and completely just, paying the price at one and the same time. As we've just sung, there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only, Jesus, could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. Well, we gather together today to remember those who gave themselves in service for others to win freedom and peace. And yet we still long for peace in this world, a longing that God addresses in those ancient words that we've been thinking about. They shall beat their swords into ploughs and their spears into pruning hooks. And yes, we see glimpses of that now, and that's wonderful. But God's promise of peace, with all swords being made into ploughs and all spears being made into garden knives, will come about when Jesus returns to this earth like he promised he would. And then all that Jesus, our peace, has made possible in his reconciling death on the cross will become fully fulfilled in those who are waiting for him. So as we gather this morning, can I ask, will you be a part of that? And will we pursue peace now where we can in our relationships and friendships? And will we, by turning back to him and believing in what he has done, receive peace with God through Jesus' death on the cross? Let's have a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this chance today to remember, importantly, what others have done for us. We thank you that we enjoy peace. But we also know that there isn't peace everywhere in the world, and we long for that day when there will be. Help us to hold on to hope and to remember the peace that Jesus has won in his death on the cross. Amen.